Eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter, verses 14 through 20. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Time, turning, and trust. The fullness of time. The time has been fulfilled. I want you to do something I do in my classes when we're talking about the brain. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute, and I want you to think about, what time is it? Now open your eyes and check your watches. How close were you? I bet you all kind of knew about what time it was, because there's a place in our brain, in the prefrontal cortex, that holds on to that. What time is it? So I spent a lot of time thinking about time this week. I got my first vaccine shot just a couple weeks ago, and I'm counting the days before I get my second shot. This took me down a whole string of thoughts about time, how time seems to just drag on. The holidays are over, the skies are threatening rain, maybe snow. Logically, thinking critically, I have to ask myself, well, does time really slow down, or is it a constant? Maybe it's just a perspective, because we know Einstein said in the theory of relativity, it has to do with the observer. What might be going slowly for me might be a flash for you. So here's a fun fact. Did you know that if you take a timepiece and set it at home in your living room, take another timepiece, and they're both exactly calibrated the same, but you zoom that other timepiece moving quickly, say a drive to Seattle and back, that time will actually slow down. It's called time dilation or time expanding. Now, we don't really notice this on a trip to Seattle, but we would notice it if we traveled at the speed of light. Time slows down the closer we get to the destination. Kind of weird, huh? But maybe I could use that as my excuse for why, when I'm driving someplace, I'm always going a little bit late. My husband won't think that's funny. So this time of year, I reflect back on Advent, which is one of my favorite times of year because we are anticipating. There's something of hope in the air to look forward to. We know that the baby Christ is coming. I remember waiting for my mom to come home. She was a single mom. My dad died when I was six. She worked at a drugstore, and I had to wait until she came home and we can open up one present. And then we went to church on Christmas Eve. And when we returned, we could open up all the presents. But while I waited for Mom to return, it was like time stood still, one second after another. I think I called her five times. I know she probably didn't appreciate that. But now, being older, it's almost as if I long for that time of anticipation, that time when Christmas would be coming. Because right now I feel stuck in the doldrums, in the rain, in the gray skies, longing for when this vaccination will get out again. Perhaps this whole time dilation explains why Tom feels so wonky right now. But maybe this is all too theoretical, too philosophical for a sermon. But what are the gospel writers saying when they ask, "The time has been fulfilled, the fullness of time, an appointed time, a time such as this"? I ask myself, are we here yet? Will things ever really get back to normal? Or will there just be more gray skies and rain? A little depressing, huh? But there's something more happening in today's gospel. Besides just the pondering of time, the fullness of time, there's something else, and it's a turning. James, John, Simon, and Andrew, they're first followers of Jesus. They're out working. They fish for a living. They mend nets. They pull nets. They clean nets. They take the fish out of the nets. But Jesus calls them and they immediately drop their nets and they turn on a new path. They turn and they begin to follow Jesus. This is a kind of reorientation, a turning. Did you know that the word repent means reorient, to turn, to change directions? I think in our modern American culture, we've kind of turned that word around. When we say repent, it almost like is a pointing of the finger, a feeling of shame, a feeling of remorse. Maybe this is why we've all failed to catch people in our nets. We have shamed people and told them, turn or burn, rather than to love people and help them on a new path and a new purpose. Jesus didn't shame James, John, Simon, or Andrew. He simply called them to himself as if to love them. And he gave them a new purpose. I will make you fishers of people. For these four men to immediately drop their nets, change directions, it must have taken a lot of trust. Trust that God was calling them. Time, turning, and trust. The word trust and faith are interchangeable in the Bible. They come from the Greek word pistis, and believing is just the action or the verb of the form of trust, of pistis, of truth, of trusting someone. So Mark writes, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, and Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fish for people. So I want to pause for a minute here, and I don't want to get too far off track, but what seems like ages ago, way back when we didn't have to wear masks, actually just in February of 2019, I got to see one of my favorite bands. It's a Christian band called For King and Country. And they were preaching in Everett, they were singing in Everett, and I got to go there, and the name of the tour was Burn the Ships. I didn't know what burn the ships meant, but while I was at the concert, one of the band members stood up and explained that in 1519, Hernan Cortes, he arrived in the New World with 600 men, and upon arrival, the reason he made history is once the men got off the ship, he burned the ships. He destroyed all of them, and he sent a clear message out. There is no turning back. You are on a new path now. One of the spouses in the band explained that his wife was suffering from addiction. And the couple stood together and decided they needed to turn directions. They needed to drop the nets. They needed to burn the ships. They flushed the pills and they never looked back. They would pray and know that God would step them into a new day, a new direction. So I want to share some of the lyrics with you, because today our band is going to sing the song, but sometimes it's a little hard to hear. They sang, "How did we get here? All cast away on a lonely shore. I can see your eyes, dear. It's hard for you to take one moment more. We've got to burn the ships, cut the ties, send the flares into the night, say a prayer. Turn the tide, dry your eyes, wave goodbye. Step into a new day. We can rise up from the dust and walk away. We can dance upon our heartache, yeah. So light the match, leave the past, burn the ships, and don't look back." You know, I hear our gospel speaking to us so strongly through this song. Jesus is calling you. Each of you, Jesus is calling you to reorient, to turn back to God, to drop your nets, to burn the ships, to leave your past behind, and to trust in the good news. You know, your calling might be motherhood, it might be delivering the mail, it might be fishing, it might be singing for the community. But each of us has a calling to play. And Jesus is calling you to stop and step into a new day, to reorient, to focus, to get back on path. Call it repentance if you like, or call it reorientation. Whatever works for you, but know that God is calling you not in shame, but in love. Because God has a purpose for each of you. He knit you together in your mother's womb for a time such as this. Even as a nation, I believe God is calling us to set aside our political differences, to drop the nets, to turn to God, calling us to reach out to one another in love, in forgiveness, in an effort to rebuild our community, a community of justice and equality, where it is known by all. Time has been fulfilled. To trust that God has a plan for you. To trust that you will make it through another day. That spring is around the corner. That the sun will come up tomorrow. And that there will be air to breathe. And that our children will come home. It is time to turn and to trust. And isn't that how our gospel lesson began? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Reorient, to turn, and to trust. Believe in the good news. Amen.